that I didn't start recording without your notice there. So, just so people know, can't hide anything or say anything unwilling. So welcome to another episode of Stories from a Bar. I'm Chris Osborne for this episode. I'm hanging out with a couple guests I'm super excited about. We've got DJ Fearless up to my left on the screen. I went right. I can't tell. Head honcho over at No One You Know, handling event planning, concerts, live music, weddings, and of course DJing. And the wonderfully talented local musician Sydney Worthley joins us as well.
Yay! Thank you for having us.
How are you guys?
We're great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's awesome. How are you doing, DJ Fearless?
Great. This is amazing getting two amazing people together.
Yeah, that's right. I'll take all that praise. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. I was telling him before, like, I got stuck at work a little longer today. I got home to the dog who had a little bit of an accident that I had to spend some time rushing around and cleaning up, breaking out the rug shampooer, throwing in some laundry. I'm like, I'm already, but like a half hour behind. I got to set up. I got to make something to eat. I'm like, oh, Jesus, running around since I got home. But things are all settled. She's good. Her name's Zoe.
Oh, love it. What type of dog is she?
Beagle Australian Shepherd mix.
Wow. What a cutie. Yes,
she is adorable. As I was telling, I'm just going to call you DJ for DJ Fearless instead of saying
we're on a first name basis now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just DJ.
Just DJ.
Just DJ now. Yeah. She's in a Beagle Australian Shepherd mix. So she has the Beagle head. She's the Beagle size. She's white with like cow black spots. So it looks like cow coloring as she's walking around, but she puffs up like an Australian Shepherd. It's adorable.
Oh, cute. Love it.
Yeah. So first off, again, thank you both of you for taking the time out of your day to do this. And chat. I really appreciate it. Happy you guys are here. I'm excited. Sydney, I was telling you before you came on, I'm familiar with your music. I've seen you live a couple times, actually.
Oh, nice. Hopefully I didn't disappoint.
No, not at all. Of course. No. DJ, first time I'm meeting you, DJ Fearless, No One You Know, putting on a lot of local events. I gotta say, I went on a little bit of a hiatus this is like my first show in about 5 months or so. I think the last one I put out was in October-ish, somewhere right around there for a buddy of mine. So I apologize if I seem a little rusty. You guys may see me, there's a pretty good chance you'll see me relearning what some of these buttons in front of me do as we go along.
It's gonna be fun.
As I kind of learn on the fly here again and refresh myself. But I want to give a quick shout out to Druthers Brewing. I personally like to have a local beer when I'm not doing an episode about breweries and stuff on hand. So Druthers Brewing, my beer of the episode. I'm having some all-in IPA. And spoiler alert for anyone that is going to listen to this that hasn't read the description, probably going to be a lot of Taylor Swift talk.
What can we say? We love some Taylor.
And I see quite the pictures right behind DJ there, over to his left, actually. Are those framed? Are those framed records or actual pictures?
No, they're records. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Wow. So, who's the bigger Taylor fan then? Is it Sydney or DJ?
It's Sydney. Yep.
A lifelong fan.
Okay.
Yeah, lifelong fan. I'll take that any day of the week.
Because I was going to say, I mean, if there was any argument about it, I was going to say I could break out some trivia. I'm pretty sure that's how things get settled on the streets.
Ooh, we could do that. That sounds fun.
I didn't prepare any, so.
Oh, come on. maybe we'll do some trivia for you. We'll break out the questions for you.
Okay. No, actually, that's a good idea. So, I mean, I like Taylor Swift. I will say, I'm sure I've heard most of her work. The only album I've actually purchased myself and listened. My favorite album, Folklore.
Mm. That's a good one. That's perfect.
Nice.
It's the perfect album.
Like, I'm more into, because my personal taste when it comes to music, I love pop punk, punk, emo. That's kind of like where I go to. And then the singer-songwriter stuff I really got into. And once I heard Folklore, I'm like, this is right up my alley. I mean, she did it with Jack Antonoff and, from Bleachers. I'm a big Bleachers fan.
Nice. Yeah. We're gonna be great friends. We're all going to be great friends. I can feel it already.
But like I said, I'm excited to be back in the podcasting world here. I got some other stuff coming up. Other than this, I got something scheduled for next week, which I'm not going to go into yet. But excited to be back. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We might as well jump right into it.
Perfect.
So coming up this Saturday, 4:20, right? Tortured Poet Series. where'd you come up with the name?
Oh, that was an easy one. You know, me and Cindy did a couple of shows together, and we did one, Taylor Swift one in January. So we were planning to do another one soon, something unique when an album dropped, and we thought it would be Reputation. And it wasn't. She dropped a brand new album. And then immediately I was like, that's genius, like Tortured Poets Department. So then I'm like, I turned it into, basically we worked together and we threw some ideas together and we turned it into a music series that was focused on tortured poets, like artists that are, the music creation process is pretty difficult, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know, but I know Sydney knows. You know, it's not easy to put music out. So we're like, Tortured Poet is a great idea for like a series.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, yeah, because I think there was a lot of rumors that going around that her next release would be the remake of Reputation, which, by the way, I don't know if I could respect Taylor Swift more for anything other than just re-recording all her work.
Right.
To, you know, a big part of my French, but fuck you too. Uh-huh. Scooter Braun, right? Who bought the originals.
Yep.
I'm like, that's one of the most punk things I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
Like, whether you like her music or not, that is insane to do that. Side note, one of my favorite solo artists, Butch Walker, works with her. So, yeah. And another reason why I like Taylor Swift. She works with all my favorite people.
Yeah.
Her music's super catchy. Like, I don't remember what year it was, because a number of years ago when she played one of the award shows, she, I don't remember which one, but Butch Walker was there playing the banjo in her band.
Oh, it must have been, was it the Country Music Awards?
Maybe it was a country one before she went super pop.
It was probably like 2012, 2013-ish. I think I remember that performance.
Yep. So, there's
a whole community of Taylor fans and emo fans that are together.
Yeah.
Big thing.
Keith, DJ is one of them.
Yeah, look, this is all my stuff, all that stuff, you know?
It's a good crossover.
Yeah.
So... Yep. So her new album comes out. We're recording this on Wednesday. It'll get it posted either Thursday or Friday, but her album's coming out this Friday. How excited are you guys?
I'm so excited. This is like my favorite. Like you said, like, I really like the singer-songwriter. I think that we're definitely going to get, from the promo stuff that I've seen, I think it's going to be a lot less pop. And I'm really excited to hear her pen, you know, like hear the writing. I'm so excited for it. That's like my favorite version of Taylor. So.
I'm equally as excited. It's she was a fan a lot sooner than I was. I turned on later on, and I missed a lot of releases. And this whole release process that she does is different than anyone else. And there's a lot of excitement behind it. I'm getting to witness it, you know, the last few albums I did, but this one I'm really excited about to see. The whole release process, the fans going crazy about it. It's super exciting.
So back to what we have coming up. You guys have already done a couple shows together, but we're talking about a Taylor Swift event this Saturday, 4:20, for anybody that likes to indulge a little extra on that particular day. Happening at Lost and Found in Albany. So what is this Tortured Poet series, and what kind of event is this going on? Not just this Saturday, but I think there's more schedule, another one in pretty almost once a month for at least the summer, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's a four-week series sponsored by American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, because they jumped in with that whole idea we were talking about before of tortured poets, and they're like, hey, we want to get into more music and local stuff, but we're down to get involved. We have four shows, you know, thanks to them, and at four different venues. So we get to highlight different music, different genres each month at different venues, and they're all supportive. It's free show, so like people can just, you have to be 21 plus, that's it, and come enjoy free music. And the artists like Sydney, you know, they get to cover whatever genre that is. Like next month is emo music. And then they get to do two of their original songs. And the focus is the lyrical parts of song making and things like that. So I'm excited to see Sydney in different ways, you know, like as an emo artist or as a... I mean, I'm more of an artist, but like to see people and their interpretations of the song is pretty cool.
So, I mean, what made you want to get this type of... I mean, a lot of Taylor Swift fandom behind this. What made you want to get this kind of event, like make it happen, I guess I'll say?
Yeah. I always want to do free events. I think that that's what music should be. Come and see music for free. And there's so much talent in the capital region. It's absurd. So the more shows we can put out there for people not to have to pay, is exciting. And my favorite music is Taylor Swift and emo music and 90s music and hip hop. So that's kind of how that, like, I want to do these four.
We are going to be great friends now.
Oh, yeah. All over the place, the type of music, you know. So to do this, you know, in Albany and in Troy and some other places is pretty exciting.
Yeah, because I've been to Lost and Found's a really cool place. In fact, I think I haven't been there in just over a year. The last time I was there was for Erie's release party.
I was too.
Yeah, I think I caught a glimpse of you talking to TJ at the time before I left. But yeah, that Lost and Found's a really cool place. It's unique to, I think, the other establishments in Albany, which I really like.
Yep.
Like a cowboyish little bar. Do they still have the bull out back that you can ride? I don't remember because they used to.
Oh no, I wish.
I don't see that.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was years ago in my college days then.
Hey, yeah. That sounds fun though. I mean, no.
Bring it back. We need torture poets and a bull riding.
It doesn't sound like it goes, but I bet it does.
I bet it does. The same thing like with the emo Swifty crossover. There's got to be some cowboy tortured poets crossover, right?
Yeah. Onto something.
Just cowboy themed tortured poets emo night. Yeah. It seems like quite the combination.
On 420, like people are going to get really.
Oh, God. Just.
Yeah. It's
that's the perfect great. Day to do it, too. Right? Just the most unique combination you can put together. You do it on 420 and everybody's down.
It's an unforgettable event. That's what we're going for. Yep. Yeah.
I feel like I should put this out. I can't partake. I don't smoke or anything like that. I'm a federal employee, so I can't. Not that I have anything against it. So by all means, if anyone listens is up for it, I'm on your side. That's why I just drink excessively. You know, I got to have one vice. We can't talk any more about this without mentioning Katie Gallagher, who is going to be there too as well, right?
Yes.
Because I want to make sure we talk about her and how awesome she is. Another awesome local musician.
And an amazing songwriter too. She's just the whole, like the package deal. She's amazing. And she's so kind too. I love her to death. I'm so glad that she's doing this with us.
Did you mention this was a free event or was this one ticketed?
Yeah, this is free.
Yep. Awesome. There's no reason for people to hear this that don't know about it and not go.
Yep.
Seriously.
I know, really.
Come on, guys. There's going to be a like bull riding event in the back. Like, how can you pass this up?
I mean,
people are going to come in. They're going to be like, so where's the bull? And we're going to be like, oh, no.
We're already here. We might as well get some drinks and hang out.
Exactly.
That's the classic misdirection.
Yes.
So what's your favorite, Sydney, what's your favorite Taylor song to play then?
Ooh, that's tricky. There's so many. It's been fun, like trying to get
she has a huge range of music and she's only what, I like know. 30, mid 30s.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do you narrow that down already?
You can't. Like, you really can't because there's so many genres too across the board. Like, so if you like the more country stuff, there's like the earlier stuff. And then if you like the folk, like song, the singer-songwriter, like folklore is for you. And it's really cool that you get that in one artist, you know? And I think that's why the Eras Tour was just so special because you got to hear, 43 songs in one concert, and they were all like across the genre. So it was like the greatest hits tour when she's just like in her mid 30s. It's crazy. But I don't know if I could pick my favorite song. My favorite song to play right now is Holy Ground. With the band, we played that one, and I love the Red Album. That's my favorite. And I've wanted to play that song live with a band for the longest time. So getting to hear it live, like while we're playing it, it's just like, it's like a boost of energy. It's like a shot of caffeine, you know, like it's awesome. I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I ignored her not intentionally or unintentionally when she first came out with like the country stuff. Cause I'm just not into country music.
Yeah.
And then she started getting into more pop and like everything I heard come on the radio. I'm like, it's just freaking catchy.
Yeah.
Like it just gets stuck in your head.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so she grew on me with each album release. And then like, I think 1979 or 80 or what's the year? 1985.
You're like in the decade.
I should know that because Ryan Adams did the full cover album, and I was a Ryan Adams fan.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's the album that I'm like, all right, I'm committed. I can say I'm a fan. Just going for it.
I think that that's how most people got sucked in too. I think that that was the album that people were like, all right, I can get on board.
What's the most difficult song to play?
Ooh,
I'm curious because I have an acoustic guitar. I'll pick it up every once in a while. I'm not by any means considering saying I know how to play. It's just one of the things I've had there that I'll pick up every once in a while and toy around with. And I think I listen into her songs and I've looked up a couple to try to learn a few chords. I'm like, maybe it was 15. I tried to learn. So I'm curious, what do you think is the most difficult song you've tried to play?
It's tricky because I think that she has such a wide vocal range too. And I don't think that she gets enough credit for it. I think that like with folklore, she really like dips into that like lower vocal range. But then like with her pop stuff, like with like Cruel Summer is an incredibly difficult song to sing just because she goes like so low and then it's so high. So that part of it is really tricky. And then trying to reimagine like those really like poppy synthesizer songs without a synthesizer and like try to convert it to more like electric guitar or like the drums sounding live rather than like a drum track has been really tricky. So those like really poppy songs, I would say Cruel Summer has been the most difficult to learn and try to get right for the audience. Cause you don't want to, I don't know, you want to do it right. Otherwise they'll just listen to the song in the car, you know? Or let DJ play it.
Yes, there you go. DJ, I want to talk about you, of course, a little bit because I was familiar with Sydney and her music going into this. No one you know, the brand name you go to for event planning and stuff like that, DJ Fearless, yourself. I don't know anything about you. That's what these podcasts are for. Because you message me, you're like, you need any notes or something? I'm like, that's what the podcast is for.
Yep.
So tell us about No One You Know, which is the brand. Is that your event name? Kind of the service to put on these events and stuff like that?
Yep. I like to call it like a creative collective because like we were doing this years ago in the Bronx and in New York City with a bunch of artists. And a lot came from it. It was pretty fun. We did free shows. We did paid shows. And then I stopped doing it for a while and then kind of got together back in Albany and was like, with a bunch of creative people like Sydney and stuff and saying, hey, I want to kind of keep doing this again. And I'm not going to do it by myself because they're the true talent behind it. You know, I just put the ideas together, but you need this kind of talent and Albany has that talent. So I decided to do more shows in the past year and a half. It's been going really well since.
That's awesome. I feel you on that in that it's not about you. It's about the talent and stuff like that. The podcast, I like to say, it's not about me. I like to get people on there to talk about themselves so I can just sit there and drink. But so I could feel you on that. But so you came from the Bronx in New York City and stuff?
Yeah.
How'd you end up in Albany?
I went to school there, SUNY Albany. So okay. We were the number one party school at the time, so I was obsessed with Albany since then.
I've been academically terminated from there.
Oh, it was close.
Not necessarily from partying or any too hard or anything like that. I struggled there. Yeah. I eventually academically terminated and then I ended up going to St. Rose and graduating with honors. But now they're closing. So I don't know what that says about my degree.
Oh no, not easy to get through it, man. So you did it. Yeah.
So how'd you get into DJing and everything? Or did that just kind of come with the territory?
It did. Basically throwing parties like in the city, a big emo fan. So started throwing parties at P. Wentz's bar, Angels and Kings. And, you know, I was doing emo acoustic shows and it was fun. But then like after the acoustic bands, they're like, well, let's play some music. And then I just started playing like the jams and sing-alongs kind of before emo was like really, you know, all these emo shows were happening. It was just like a small acoustic thing where like people like Panic at a Disco or like Vinny from the movie Life, Fall Out Boy would show up, you know. And they would just come through and see acoustic music. And we got a lot of talented local bands from there that evolved into something great, like American Authors and things like that. So that's kind of how it happened. And how the name happened was pretty easy. Constantly go to the city, for these shows, and my mom would ask me like, well, who's playing? And my dad asked me who's playing. I was like, nobody, you know, like,
if I let you say it that way, I'm like, that's brilliant.
That's I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's literally how I did it. Cause like, I was just tired, and they want to stay supportive, but I didn't, can't explain to you who I am, the Avalanche is, you know, or Bayside, you know, cause you're not going to know. So,
oh man, because I've said that before to when I've had a few bands on the podcast, some Canadian ones, some indie ones. Like, I don't even know how the Canadian ones happened, but, and I've had a couple people ask me, so like, who have you talked to? When I've said I've had a band on, and my response is like, it's not going to be anybody, you know?
Yeah. And it worked. And the ironic part was that these bands, obviously people did know. So it was kind of fun. There was a whole scene of these people coming out to see these shows, but you know, it's just like, that name is kind of clever. So that's kind of why I love it and wanted to bring it back basically.
Oh, that's awesome. I enjoy that even now that I know the story behind that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like we talked about, this Saturday, 4:20, Lost and Found, Tortured Poets Series, Taylor Swift themed event with covers from, of course, Sydney and Katie, you DJing afterwards. Coming up after that is the Enchanted Night of Taylor Swift, I believe, at The Hollow Bar and Grill, one of my favorite places in Albany.
It's a gem.
Every time I'm going to a show at Empire Live right next door, I go down at least a few hours early just so I can hang out at The Hollow for some drinks and snacks. Plus, the bands go in there.
Yeah,
we love that place. Dora and Mike are great. They're amazing.
Yep, I've had Dora on the podcast. She's awesome. My favorite experience at The Hollow, when Jimmy Eat World played at Empire Live. Maybe it was even last year, 2 years ago. Went down early, sitting at the bar. I looked over and I saw Zach, the drummer, at one of the tables. I thought it was Jim with him, the center, just because it had a similar haircut and he was look the back, but it was just a buddy of his. I'm like, holy shit, what do I do? I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt him while he's eating or drinking. I don't want to be that dude. But if I don't go say hi, I'm going to regret it. So I at least just trying not to let him see me constantly looking over there while I'm trying to drink my beer, let him finish his meal and stuff like that. And they were getting ready to pay. And then I went over and introduced myself.
Nice.
So, but yeah, plus The Hollow is just an awesome place. They have great shows, great food, great drinks. But Enchanted Night of Taylor Swift coming up there on the next Saturday, 4:27. In fact, I was just there a couple weeks ago when I went to Empire Live to see Between You and Me. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all. Australian pop punk band.
Nice.
I'm really into. Big fan of them. Young Culture opened for them. Pop punk band from the local area.
Yep.
And Sharia Moore, who is from Maryland. Them I've had on the podcast. Really cool guys. Great, unique sound to them. So I stopped at The Hollow before that. But so what's going on with the Enchanted Night of Taylor Swift at The Hollow? What can people look forward to there?
So it's pretty unique because there's two shows that day. So Sydney and the band are going to do an amazing job somehow doing it twice, which is pretty awesome. So they were going to do a one at 12 o'clock for all ages because we did this in January and we had a great time. And a lot of people were like, I want to bring my kids to this. So we did an all ages one this time around. So it starts from 12 to 4. And then for the older crowd, we're doing it at 7 p.m. that night. Then that's the Enchanted Night. And Sydney can take the rest of what to expect because they're the stars of the show.
So we wanted to keep it pretty similar with the set list just so nobody feels like they're missing out on anything. I know that a lot of people have been like asking me, they're like, so which one should I go to? Should I go to the all ages one? Should I go to the like the adult one? I'm like, there's no wrong answer. If you want to go and like bring your kids, then you should do that. If you want to just like stay away from your kids for that night, then you should do both. I'm like,
say one or the other, say both.
Yes, do both because it's going to be fun no matter what. We're adding a few extra songs to the adult one that I know that our older crowd, I say older crowd, our 18 and up crowd will enjoy. Just because I know that they've been fans for a little bit longer, so they'll enjoy the deep cuts. But we got Bracelets. We got we're going to be doing like some featured mocktails and everything like that. It'll be a lot of fun. And then there's going to be some giveaways from DJ. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Actually, so I asked you what your favorite song to play was most difficult. What's your overall favorite Taylor Swift songs?
It's always been All Too Well. Even before it became popular, I gotta preface that. I'm gonna be that annoying musician that's like, I like this song before it became popular. So All Too Well is my all-time favorite song.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think you'd like it. It's more of the singer. It's like her original, like, singer.
Which album was that on?
It's on Red.
Okay.
I think that you would really enjoy Red. There's like a little bit of country, but she's like leaning more towards the pop in that.
Like I said, I haven't heard anything I've overly disliked. I will say I have at least, if I have to say what my least favorite Taylor Swift song is, I'll tell you that. But first I want to...
wait, tell us.
My least favorite Taylor Swift song I've ever heard is Karma.
Oh, wow.
I think it's awful compared to her other work.
Okay.
That I've heard. But again, I haven't listened to every album all the way through or anything like that.
You don't need to enjoy it. You should. It was great music.
Which is actually surprising, considering my girlfriend's a big fan.
I'm surprised that she hasn't indoctrinated you yet.
She's been trying to get me on the bandwagon for a while.
Maybe this is the final push.
Mm-hmm.
DJ, what's your favorite Taylor Swift songs? You're the one with the records on the wall right behind you.
That's fair. I love Haunted. I love Long Live. Haunted is one of my favorites big time. And Enchanted, and that's kind of why I was like, oh, Enchanted Night is a beautiful name for a show, because I love the song.
Nice. All my references go back to folklore mostly, but freaking Exile, which she did with Bon Iver.
Yeah.
That was good. There's I forgot what the other one was. Like, I see all the names in front of me, but I can't remember which one was Rich, which it may have been Illicit Affairs.
Oh, that's slow, and yeah, that's good.
I said what my least favorite song is. What was your least favorite songs then?
Ooh, me or Sydney?
There's either one. There's got to be something heard and you're like, this one just doesn't hit for me. And
there's only one song where I'm like, it's my least favorite, but I'm so afraid to say it because what if she's listening? What if she's listening?
It's true. The millions of people do hear this. I'm huge friends with Travis Kelce is my number one fan. So
no,
if he hears
can't
it,
disappoint. Okay. I think that this is not a controversial opinion, so I'll say it. It's me. Wow. I can't get behind the song. I'm sorry. I tried. I stayed up late for the single release, and I watched the music video, but it's not for me.
All right.
Go ahead, DJ.
Don't judge me. It's Anti-Hero. I don't know why.
Okay.
I know it's catchy. I get it, but that's not my favorite. I'll listen to it. But it's definitely not my favorite.
I see her judging you on the wall right now.
I mean, especially the over-the-shoulder shot. Hold on. There's a way for me to make that full screen.
Oh, no.
See, yeah. For anybody that's watching the video of this.
She's like, getting lighter to your hair right now.
I know. This is every album cover he has of Taylor Swift judging him over his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know. It's bad. That's why I didn't want to say it. You got me.
That's fair.
Yeah, everybody's got their taste.
Yeah, when you asked that question before, I was just sitting here very quietly.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to let that fly.
Damn, you got me.
I know. This is full participation here. It's like a teacher trying to make all their students participate.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
It's like just sitting. It just made me, I just had flashbacks of sitting in class praying the teacher didn't call on me to read or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
Good times.
So we had, of course, Tortured Poet Series on 420, Enchanted Night of Taylor Swift, 427 at the Hollow. Another Hollow event you guys, no one you know, has on the calendar. Friday, May 24th, Emo Prom. Mm,
yeah. That's one of my favorites.
I want to hear, tell me all about Emo Prom, because just right off the bat, I'm like, what in the world? This sounds great.
It's kind of inspired by Taylor in a way. You know, that people like to get dressed up for our shows, and we want people to get dressed up for our emo prom. You know, you could wear a t-shirt and Vans, or you can wear a prom dress if you want. And it's kind of in like the Fall Out Boy music video vibes, you know, this ain't a scene and things like that. So we're going to have balloons. We're going to have a nice little setup. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a photo booth, and it's going to kind of bring it back to like an adult prom in a way, but like with good music.
I'm not gonna lie, I skipped my prom and just went straight to the after party.
I didn't go to my either.
Now I feel lame. I should have just gone to the after party.
Huh?
Sydney, you'll be there.
Yes, I will.
Also awesome local band Seas Atlantis, I believe, is on the bill, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, both bands are doing full sets, like full band sets. So they're doing all covers of emo music.
And DJ Crush, who I am unfamiliar with.
Yeah, that's somebody.
that's somebody.
I like to switch up my name when I play different genres of music. So that might be me playing that day.
All right, DJ. That's why I call you just DJ.
Ready to go.
Second part. It's irrelevant now. This way, I get it right every time.
That's fair. Yep, I can't decide.
We touched on emo music. Definitely my kind of music, like punk, pop punk, punk, emo music was fucking, sorry, dropping F-bombs. Not that
you're good.
Just a heads up. Was just what I got into. I remember growing up, I had an older brother. My dad was into country music. My older brother would threaten to beat the crap out of me if I listened to that. And luckily he was into heavy metal, so that's what rubbed off on me. That's how I started getting into metal and Ozzy and things like that. And then I kind of just went into the pop punk singer songwriter direction for all my favorite bands and stuff like that. So my favorite band is Jimmy Eat World. If you can't see it in the poster right to my back there, Futures, my favorite album of all time.
Nice.
Butch Walker is my other favorite artist. He's a musician. His music and stuff like that. So what are some of the, not, I don't want to spoil anything, but what are some of the emo covers or bands people can expect to hear?
I don't see, you want to leak some stuff or you're...
I am playing...
Anything you're comfortable with saying.
I am playing some Jimmy Eat World. So you better be there. I'm going to shout you out. I'm going to make you sing. Okay. I can't not play Paramore. I mean, she's incredible. I can't do it justice like she can because, oh my God, she has my heart.
I have seen them once. How long has it been? At least 15 years ago, Jimmy Eat World. They opened at Washington Avenue Armory in Albany. They opened for, maybe it was Fall Out Boy and Motion City Soundtrack they played with. No, it was a Jimmy Eat World show. They played with Jimmy.
Wow.
That's because that was the riot days.
Mm.
That's the only time I've seen them, and they were great.
Yeah, she's only gotten better, which is crazy. It's amazing.
Fall Out Boy did play Washington Avenue Armory, too, because I've seen them there with Motion City.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm going to be playing some Fall Out Boy, too. So everything that you like. Yeah. How about you, DJ? What can we expect from you?
I heard, you know, rumors from other bands, you know, because we kind of communicate and we talk about the song, so we don't do any duplicates, but there might be some Senses Fail performed, you know, some Taking Back Sunday, things like that.
Senses Fail, their first EP is one of my favorite emo releases ever.
Yep. Then you're going to like this.
I was a huge Taking Back Sunday fan. And then I got a hold of that EP when it came out. I'm like, Taking Back Sunday's out the window for me now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where it's at. Wow. Senses Fail. That's a name I was not expecting you to drop.
Oh yeah, My Chemical Romance. We got a lot, and we're going way back. Like especially Seas Atlantis, they're doing some deep cuts.
I am reliving all my Warped Tour days right now in my head.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember which one. Maybe it was the one I went to the parking lot around where the New England Patriots play, Gillette Stadium. Went to Warped Tour there, all around in the parking lots and stuff like that. My Chemical Romance was legit. This must have been right when I'm Okay, You're Okay was just first coming out. Because they were playing literally the small side stage.
Wow.
That's amazing. Well,
and now I'm seeing the band, and I've seen the band since they've matured. I'm like, I can't believe I saw them just at that small thing.
So
like, not a small club, but a small side stage at Warped Tour. And I'm like, holy shit.
Uh-huh. Never forget that. That's amazing.
My favorite, although My favorite, like, holy crap moment, now that I look back on it, the last, I'm giving away a little bit of my age here, the last 30 years. I caught, when Green Day was doing their Nimrod tour, they played Union College, the hockey, the field house. I was in middle school, maybe. Like, it wasn't even sold out.
Wow.
Bill, and I still remember Billy Joel, he ripped off his pants and was wearing a Speedo, of course, climbing up the scaffold and squirting a Super Soaker. I'm like, and now, you know, you see them after American Idiot came, or not even, even before American Idiot came out, they were closer to selling out places. Like, holy, I can't, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I got to see something like that.
That's epic.
What are you, actually, now that we're talking about, what are your, some of your favorite moments like that?
Sydney, you got any?
I've been indoctrinated into the emo community by DJ. I think that he has more moments like that.
Yeah. You know, Angels and Kings, a lot of bands showed up and played, like Panic at a Disco. Brendan Urie came in and did an acoustic set. That was insane. In a room full of 80 people, probably. Mark Hoppus was watching the show, you know, sitting in there.
So I was just, I immediately just thought of, had I seen Blink before? And I've only seen them once.
Yeah, I've seen them
there. On the Pop Disaster Tour with Green Day.
Oh,
that
cool.
Jimmy Eat World Open.
And I saw Jimmy Eat World the other day with Fall Out Boy up in Albany. It was.
I missed it.
You know, things like that. That's, it's just a lot of bands like that. I just, my favorite is just American Authors, because saw them grow from, you know, just a local band coming from Massachusetts, Boston, to New York City and trying to make it work. And then they blew up and did some amazing things. So they're not emo, but that's kind of like one of my favorite.
I know the name. I can't say I'm familiar with the music.
Yeah. I promise you, you know, the Best Day of My Life song. It's plays in every store and every.
There's commercials with it too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't.
So we covered Tortured Poet Series, Emo Prom, Enchanted Night with Taylor Swift. Is there anything else coming up?
Yeah, I mean, so we have the two, you know, Torture Poets is three more weeks after this weekend.
Yep. In fact, I have those. So May 18th, June 22nd, July 12th, I believe are the dates.
Sure, that's perfect. And
once a month. See, I do my research.
Yes, you're the man. I think the big thing we're leading up to is an album release of our own or of her own. You know, Sydney's going to be dropping a brand new original album. So
let's talk about Sydney music.
Yay. So people that are listening are actually getting to know this before anybody else. But I'm releasing
Stories from a Bar exclusive.
Yeah. All for all the millions of viewers and Taylor Swift.
Taylor and Kelsey Travis are going to hear this.
Yes, first. Exactly.
In fact, I just send it directly to them and let them hear it first before I post it.
Just to make sure that they approve on our least favorite song.
Yeah.
So July, I'm not going to disclose the date yet.
I would love to know offline, and I promise I won't say anything, only because my birthday's in July.
Oh, mm-hmm. Perfect. Yes. So we'll be singing you happy birthday no matter what. So July, I'm going to be doing an album release show, and it'll be the same day that my album comes out at The Hollow. Cause we love The Hollow. We love them. We're going to decorate, we're going to make it like an 80s prom sort of theme.
Awesome.
And so it hasn't been announced just yet. I'm waiting until we're done with the Taylor shows for a little bit so we can give that its own space to breathe and for people to enjoy it before they get ready for something else. So that's coming pretty soon, the announcement for that. And I'm so excited. I'm really, really proud of this album. It's going to be 12 tracks, and it's my second full-length album.
I was going to say, because you have one album, Stronger. You have the EP, Rose Color Glasses, which my favorite song from that is still 415.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's one of my favorites. I love that. It's so much fun to play live.
I've enjoyed the three singles you've had since then. How Soon Is Now, Heartshaped Mess, Anaheim. Are those all going to be on the album?
They are yes. Yep. So those are the singles leading up to it.
I love your music, and I mean this totally as a compliment. I love the flashes of Florence and the Machine sound I get occasionally. Yeah. Like that's glorious.
That's so crazy. It's one of those things where like I feel like as a musician, you just base your like, I don't know, your elevator pitch based off of what other people tell you. I've never been able to hear Florence but I've heard that so many times, which is just so flattering.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I'm like, because I'd catch those flashes. I'm like, just in a moment, I'm like, that reminded me of Florence and the Machine. I'm like, I'm sure she's heard that 100 times.
I'm flattered. I love that. That's amazing. And she's going to be, she has a track with Taylor on the upcoming album. So I'm thrilled to hear it. I really am. I'm excited.
Because I've only seen you twice, or yeah, live twice. I caught you at the first Nipper Fest, your little acoustic set with, by the way, shout out to, who's your other guitar player there for the full band? Because he's great too.
Leo Valencius. He's a great guy. He's also a graphic designer in the area, and he's incredible.
Yep, I caught you there. That was a great little set. And when you played with Erie at Lark Hall.
Yes, that was actually the first time that I met TJ. And
was it really? Okay.
Yeah, and we've been like inseparable since. Like,
I was gonna say, because he's filled in on bass for you and stuff.
Yeah, he's been playing. He's actually going to be playing guitar with me at the, and I actually stole his drummer too, Chad.
Chad.
I'm just stealing everybody. So Chad and TJ are going to be playing with me on the 27th for the double feature show. So
nice.
Yeah, excited about that.
There was something else I was going to ask. Oh, yeah. So you have Stronger. You have your EP, Rose Colored Glasses. The two singles came out. It's been a while since the first full length and the EP. Really, I'm curious what kind of lessons you've learned from those that you took into recording this new album. Then,
so the first album is definitely like, it's so not inconsistent, but there's not a lot of continuity because that was my first time ever writing music. And we just basically hit record. And I was messing around with so many different genres just because I wanted to try to figure out what I wanted to do. Because at that time I was doing covers. And I mean, I was 14 when that album came out. So I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I have no idea. So I kind of messed around with a lot of genres. And I think that's around the same time when I was playing live, where I kept hearing the Florence, like the Florence Welch, and how everybody kept saying that I sounded like Florence the Machine. I was like, I'll lean into that a little bit. And I feel like that's kind of the direction that Rose Colored Glasses took a little bit. And then with this album, I'm really thrilled with it, because it feels the most like the music that I really love at this moment, and the music that I've loved for a very long time. It doesn't feel like I'm trying to be any other musician. It feels like I kind of found my groove, which is just, it's a really good feeling. And I'm sure that a lot of musicians feel that way. But there's some like 80s themes in there. There's a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, because writing the music is my favorite part of it. And this
I mean, you're hitting all the notes I want to hear. 80s.
I'm so excited.
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you to hear. I hope that you like it. So I'm really excited, because How Soon Is Now kind of has that like production of some 80s synthesizers and some drum tracks and everything. And then Heart-Shaped Mess is on like the complete opposite spectrum of like the red Taylor Swift, Phoebe Bridgers, like the sad like singer-songwriter stuff. So I lean both ways in that type of music. So I'm really happy to be like creating that type of music, and I'm just really proud of it.
That's awesome. Fun question. Let's say you blow up, you're going out on a world tour, dream tour partner.
Oof. That's so tricky. Okay. So
not Taylor Swift. We've talked a lot about Taylor Swift. So that's,
I think that Maggie Rogers would be so much fun. So much. She's an incredible performer. And I would have to open for her a million times over again, because, oh my God, she puts on such a good show. I love Phoebe too. I feel like Maggie puts on like a really fun, energetic performance, and Phoebe makes you like sob for hours. And I love both sides of that. So either of them, I feel like that would be a really, really cool show.
Sounds like a 3-band bill right there.
Yeah. We could start our own Warped Tour.
It's your dream tour.
Like, yeah. It'll just be called like the Prozac tour or something like that. I don't know.
Lilith Fair 2.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not in a band, but I just want to hang out with the Foo Fighters. That's all I want to do.
Oh my God. Dave Grohl would be so much fun.
I know. It just seems like such a freaking awesome dude to hang out with.
Did you see his Hot Ones episode?
Oh, was he on Hot Ones? No, I didn't.
Oh, you need to watch that. He was so funny on it. He was like one of my favorite ones.
I was just watching Conan earlier this week. He was on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
He was unhinged.
I love Conan.
Yeah, same.
About
Conan. Sorry. I went to a show. My brother and me went to a show at Radio City or the Apollo, and Conan, we were front row. Conan called me up and made me grab his nipples right in the beginning of the show.
That is a great story.
That is not at all where I thought that was going to go.
Yeah.
And it's so great.
Like this here, and I knew the assignment. So.
That's so good.
If I post a video clip for this whole episode, that's going to be it right there. Conan made me grab his nipples.
That's cool. Some good clickbait. Yeah.
I know. And the caption will just be, "Hear the story behind this." And it's a total misdirect because that was literally just 10 seconds.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. So let's wrap up on a fun question. Well, we talked about your dream tour. That was a fun question. But what are you guys listening to? What is big on your playlist right now? Yeah. Since we are talking music most of this episode.
You got one, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, I'm big into the Maggie Rogers album right now.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm a big Bleachers fan, but Maggie Rogers' album right now is insane.
I know. It's like a really, you would really like it.
I got to check it out. I'm not sure if I feel like I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with the music.
I don't think that she has three albums right now. I don't think that she's ever put out a bad song. They're all like, there's something you love on every single album. I really love it. But this one has like a more like, I don't know. I was getting more like Fleetwood Mac, like the 70s sort of vibe. I really, really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
That's what I listened to on my plane ride. Yeah.
What about you?
Actually, I saw that TJ from Erie interviewed the guitar player for Sum 41. I've been listening to the new Sum 41 album.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Because the singles they dropped early, I just got super into. I'm like, you know what? I can't wait to hear this because I haven't listened to them in probably years before that. But I mentioned I went and I saw Between You and Me maybe last month, a few weeks ago, pop punk Australian band. They just released their new EP, so I've had that repeat a little bit. And I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're from Maryland, this newer band called Free Friends. Ben DeHaan, he's the lead singer. I had him and his wife on the podcast early, but they just released a cover of the Miley Cyrus song Used to Be Young, a punk cover, and it's awesome.
That's awesome.
Their other new song is called Checkpoint. I forgot who else is on that. Sucker Punch. Just if you're into pop punk, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I always have an 80s playlist on standby on Spotify. That I just put on random. It's like 4 hours long while I'm at work.
Sweet. Sweet.
That's like my go-to. If I'm like, I can't decide, I just put on the 80s playlist.
Speaking of, I was to switch it up from DJ. I've been listening to Chapel Roan a lot recently. She's bringing back like the 80s, like pop, like modern 80s pop. She writes so like really, really catchy songs. And they're fun songs to listen to.
Her vocals are amazing.
I know. She's incredible. She has like kind of like, not like a yodel, but like, it's just so unique. And she's an incredible performer too. Like, she's just so fun to watch.
I just like that you use the word yodel. Not
like I mean, yeah. I don't, yeah. Somebody's going to come for me for that. They're like, yodel? Really? That's insulting. I'm going to get canceled.
You said not like a yodel. How is?
Somebody's going to twist my words. There's going to be like a sound bite edit. I'm going to get canceled on your podcast.
Those are the two highlights from this podcast when I posted. Sydney used the word yodel.
Yes.
And Conan O'Brien asked DJ to grab his nipples.
Yep. There you go. That sums it
went
up.
It went off the rails quick. That is what we are pulling out of the last 40.
Oh, God.
So I think that's going to wrap up this edition of Stories from a Bar. Thank you, Sydney. Thank you, DJ Fearless. I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time to hang out. It's been super fun chatting and getting to hang out with you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much.
For people out there that are listening, if you're not doing it already, be sure to go and follow all the social media pages for Sydney Worthley, No One You Know. And this way you can keep up on all the awesome things they have going on. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm not even sure what else. But what else would you guys like to throw in?
That's
about it.
Yeah.
Apple Music and Spotify. Those are always good.
Shout out to American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and yes. State Farm Dispensary for helping us out to do this. So
they're awesome.
Absolutely. That's a big shout out to the Suicide Prevention. That's Foundation, super important. That's amazing that they're chipping in and also sponsoring that. That's awesome. Huge thank you to everyone out there for checking out the show. You can, of course, follow Stories from a Bar on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Stories FAB to keep up with everything going on with the show. You'll find Stories from a Bar on all major podcast platforms. Be sure to like, subscribe, even more importantly, leave fantastic reviews and share the hell out of it. So until next time, cheers.